Okay, today's Mishnah in Masechet Mikvaot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Perek Vav Mishnah Yud. Now here, we have a very big machlokas about how to learn this Mishnah. I don't really like to call it a machlokas because I like to follow the Rishonim and not the Achronim, but there's a machlokas of the more modern Perushim. The early Rishonim, the way in which the Mishnah is understood is on the basis of the Tosefta. As I said, the Rashi explains the Mishnah in detail, and it's the way also that the Rav explains it too, following the Rashi. So there's this new idea. We've spoken about it before, but we never had a Mishnah dedicated to it. And that is the din of Gidurim or Gerurim. The actual Lashon in the Tosefta Gufa is Gidurim. It's always quoted as Gerurim. So I'm not sure. Maybe there's, different Nuschaot. But the Gavi concept over here is Mayim Gerurim Agabe Kelim is considered to be a psula mayim she'uvim, which means that even though the water itself was not inside of the kli, but it flows over the kli as part of its coming into the mikveh, is also psula as she'uvim, even though it wasn't contained inside of that kli. We did mention this when we were talking about having a kli that is overflowing, that's underneath a drain pipe from the roof, the megashamim, where it would be possibly pusul, even though it wasn't actually included in the kelim. The Tiferes Yisrael actually tries to learn the Mishnah kipshuto without getting onto the sugya of gerurim agabe kelim. So, and what is this all about? It's actually the first Mishnah that we've had that. And it's interesting that the end of the parak is referring to the more modern mikvahs. And it's talking about the way that the mikvahs were made in later times, where you have a regular Beit Merchatz, and in that Beit Merchatz, you have mikvahs that are kept clean. So, in other words, what do they do with those mikvahs? After the water gets dirty, they simply pull a plug, the water goes out, and then they replace it. That's a much more modern tiled bath that you're talking about over here. And it's got an organized plug at the bottom and everything like that, instead of a hole in a mara. Now, the problem with it is that when you're dealing with a thing like that and you have the pressure of a water gushing out through a hole, it's very difficult to keep that hole perfectly round so that you can plug it up later, right? Like a bathtub, which is what this is more like. So what they used to do is they took like a metal pan or a metal cup, put it into the ground, and then in that they made the hole so that it would be a metallic hole. And then you could plug it and unplug it each time and there was no problem. The problem, however, was that what that meant is that you had an indentation into the ground, which was metallic, it was really a kli, to be able to have the mikveh plugged and unplugged between uses, so that they could fill it up with clean water that was mei mikveh. So now the question is, when they fill it up, the water goes onto that stopper thing, which is an actual kli. And the question is, if the mikveh water is all basically pouring out on that, so would it not be considered to be gerurim agabe kelim? Because it's all effectively pouring out directly onto this kli that is into the ground on the mikveh. And then the whole thing should have a din of mayim she'uvim. So let's talk about this. This is called an avik. So an avik is a drain. It's like we have it in every sink nowadays, right? You have this sink, and then you have this metallic piece that goes down. You could sometimes put like a filter into that thing, but it always holds water. So that's called the avik. the avik in a merchatz, if it's in the middle of the merchatz, it is going to passel all of the water, because basically all of the water is right on that kli, because it's smack bang in the middle of the kli. But suppose it's put into the side of the mikveh, so it's actually in the wall, and it doesn't hit all the water on the bottom. So then, if it's min hatzad, ain't no poso. Because even if, when we say in the wall, it doesn't mean in the wall facing an angle. It means it's higher than the middle of the mikveh. There's still a kli there, like there's a hole in the wall, and there's this drain that's there in it, with this avik inside the drain. But since the mayim she'uvim is kept to the side of the main mikveh, so that when the water is coming on, it doesn't go directly onto that, that is called, says Rabbi Meir, a mikveh somuch lemikveh, divrei Rabbi Meir. So according to that, if you have a mikveh of mayim she'uvim, which is next to a kosher mikveh, so then it doesn't passel the mikveh that is kosher, and all of it, it's a tiny bit of water in it, that's true, but that's not going to passel the mikveh. So therefore, once you end up with a kosher mikveh in the side, we don't have to worry about the mayim she'uvim on the other side. The Chachamim say, you don't even need to worry about that at all. You know why? Because basically, as long as you start off with a mikveh of any type that you could call a mikveh, the fact is that a revius of mayim is enough for a kosher mikveh if you want to be tevel kelim, miniraisa. The Chachamim argue that all mikveot need 40 sa'ah. Okay? So if that's the case, the Adam requires 40 sa'ah, because that we understand is the shear of the Knesset of Adam. And therefore, even if you want to be tevel a little needle, the mikveh is defined as 40 sa'ah. Okay, now, when it comes, however, to be machmer, that a mayim she'uvim in the mikveh should passel the whole mikveh, which is a gezeirah d'rabbanan that we had, for that, as long as you have a kosher mikveh of one revius, if that water that starts filling the mikveh, before it gets to the avik, so the avik sometimes, you know, is a little bit sticking up. Okay, so it's going to take a couple of glasses of water in the mikveh before the mikveh gets high enough to overflow into the drain, which means you're going to have a little bit of water at the bottom of the mikveh. If you have a revius, then forget it. There's not going to be any problem at all. Because even if it's smack bang in the middle of the mikveh, it's still going to be kosher once it had a revius mayim, which is a mikveh d'oraisa for kelim ketanim. Fine. It's only im lav, it doesn't have even that. So then the water that you pour in goes directly into the avik. Then we agree that in a chinami, it would be possible because everything is nigrorim agabe the kelim. Now, the Tiferes Yisrael learns that the discussion is, he doesn't bring in Bechlal, the Nigrorim. He talks about it in terms of whether it's considered to all of it to be on the kli itself, in the Mela. You started off with the mikveh that was possible. Okay, as I say, this was not the approach of even the later Mefarshim that go with the Pirush of the Rash. And they talk about it in terms of this new halacha, and I think it would be very important for a Gavi rule to include mayim anigrorim agabi kelim. Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Tzadok omer, im mekabel ha'avik kol shuhu pas. If you're telling me that this avik is a clay kibble, what's the difference where it is? It's going to make it, if it's in the side, if it's in the floor, in all cases, we're going to say that the mikveh would be possible, because basically, if it's like the Chachamim say, the only reason the Chachamim said it's kosher is because they came up with this idea of even a revius would be enough to makshir a mikveh on the side of a mikveh. That's a big kula. And Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzadok, agrees with the Ikra Halacha that we're talking about a pagam of Mayim She'uvim. And since Midrabbanan Revius is not kosher as a mikvah, so we're not going to be samech on that Revius to be mekel for the Mayim She'uvim that are Negrorim al gabei kelim. That seems to be the approach of Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzadok.
What's important about the clay kibul? Isn't that saying it's different?
No, he's pointing out that Yuchachonim agree that the Avik is a clay kibul and pasuls because of Negrorim al gabei kelim. So if you hold that, then you have to hold that it's pasul. Because this business of relying on the Revius is ridiculous. Why would we rely on a Revius which is pasul midrabbana?
The difference if it's a flat plate or a plate that can be with kabo.
Of course. Actually, when it comes to that's a very good question. Because actually, when it comes to the dinim of Tumas Kalim, we'll have to see more about this. The Mayim that would be Nigrarim on a Kli that's Mekabel Tuma, if it's a Kli Matres, so then you don't need a Beis Kibul in it. And you only need a Beis Kibul on Kalim that are not Matechet, right? So over there we know that there's a Dindavka of a Beis Kibul. So since over here, the Avik we've been explaining up until now is an Avik, which is made out of metal, what Rabbi Barnea is asking is why do we need for it to be a Kli Kibul Bechlal? Which is an interesting question. I remember that there are Rishonim that talk about that question. Why does it need to be? But I don't remember the answer. So, Bezrat Hashem, I'll look it up and see if I can find once again those who hold. I can't remember. But it's a very good question. Okay, let's continue, and hopefully I'll be zochet to find an answer for tomorrow. We can continue, right, Shmuel? Shmuel Chanina?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, we hear you. Okay. Mishnah Yud Aleph, closing this parak. And this, as I said, we're in the modern part of the parak, the contemporary mikvaot. And in contemporary mikvaot, people actually like to be clean in a mikvah, which was part of what's happening over here, the need to empty out the mikvah and to refill it for the next person. So they also used to have non-kalim mikvaot that would stand next to the actual mikvah that you were using, and they would be washing themselves off to be clean afterwards. And so that was called the mitaheret. So next to the actual mikveh that we've been discussing over here, they had the type of non-kalim that were hollowed out, say, from stones on the ground or whatever. And this was cool water that after you got out of the hot mikveh, you would go in order to actually be cooling down. So now those things which had cold water in it, which was after they went into the warm mikveh, would actually be made in a way that they had sometimes mayim she'uvim that was on top, and then underneath it there was a bor of mayim that was mayim that were sherim, or sometimes vice versa. So they had a lot of water that would be underneath. It's actually fascinating that the case is very difficult to be tofes, which is why the Gra changes the whole meaning. It's incredibly different than all of the Mefarshim throughout all of the Deiros. He really has tremendous, as they say, he has really wide shoulders, breite plates. So what the Gra understands we're talking about over here is that we have two pipes that are pumping water. One of them is Mayim Shiluchim, and one of them is Mayim that are just coming directly from the rainwater. And he understands the whole thing as being a question of whether there's a hole between the pipes, and there's a chashash that maybe the Mayim Shiluchim from one pipe got into a totally different Mishnah, which I won't go into the details, but it's because of the fact it's very difficult to understand precisely why they would make these kind of things. But in any event, we're discussing a case where we've got water. One of them is Shiluchim. One of them is Mayim. That is kosher for the mikvah. And normally, Shiluchim is actually not going to passel a mikvah that's chaser, obviously, unless it actually goes into that mikvah. It's not going to passel the water in a mikvah just because it touches Mayim Shiluchim. But in this case, if the Shiluchim can touch the upper one, which has in it kosher water, it's similar to the case that we just spoke about, except that it involves a new chiddush. The case that we just spoke about has this avik, and this avik is able to hold in it Mayim Shiluchim. And what we're saying is that any water that is put into the mikveh that is going to cover that also becomes puzzle. How about if there's a hole at the bottom of the mikveh that runs into a connecting mikveh, which is Shiluchim? Now, in the mikveh that you're in, there's not Arba'im Sa'a. You've already gone to the mikveh in your nice, beautiful, tiled Avik mikveh. Now you're going into this Mitaharet where cold water is coming in. The cold water is kosher, but it is currently Mayim that is Pachas from Arba'im Sa'a. You want the water to fill up, and that way you're going to be able to become tahor in this mikveh. So we introduce a new problem here, namely that in the event that you actually have the opening between the two, and in the opening between the two, you have the amount of water that would passel a mikveh, even though they don't mix. So you have shloisha lugin. If you have shloisha lugin that would be contained within the hole, then even though the mayim shuvim is on the bottom, just like in the previous Mishnah, and the mayim shuvim doesn't actually doesn't flow up, and it doesn't go into the mikveh on top, it's considered to be a psul in that mikveh, and all of the mikveh that's going to be pouring in, the kosher mayim that will be pouring in, is going to become nifsal, because it was open to a mikveh of shiluchim, and the hole that it was open into is the equivalent of the drain, and therefore, if it holds a full shlosh lugin, it's going to make that upper mikveh a mikveh that even when you end up filling it up, it's going to be puzzle. Because it was shlosha mayim, lugim mayim shuvim, that were in that mikveh before it became arboim sa. Wow. A tremendous chiddush. Okay. So im yesh. So now you have a situation where the tachtona is full of mayim shuvim and water doesn't go up. I mean, obviously, if the elyon was mayim shuvim, this would be true. But even if the tachtona is mayim shuvim, and the Elyonah is Mayim that is Ksherim. But the hole between these two mikvahs is that the lower one has a hole that is exposed to the upper one, to the tune of Shlosha Lugin, then all of the water in the upper container, and when I say container, it's not a container that passels the Mayim, it's hollowed out of the earth, is going to passel it. Wow. So since it's chaser, the Arboim Sa, it's like the previous Mishnah. You see the comparison of the Mishnahs. So if that hole is wide enough, and high enough, obviously, that it has three lugin in it, then it's going to be possible. Now, how do we decide that the hole is enough to contain shlosha lugin? If the hole is enough to contain shlosha lugin, so then since that's there all at one time, it's considered to be, for all intents and purposes, within that upper mikveh. So what's that shear? Kama yehe b'nekev v'yehe bo shlosha lugin. Now, This is the same shear that we spoke about when we were talking about how much water you would need to flow into a mikveh in order to make sure that you got rid of the shlosh lugin that were in that mikveh of mayim she'uvim, remember? So what did we say? We said that it would have to be 320 times that shear. And that's what we worked out before. It's a machlokas. According to the Ravid, we were able to be mako and go only according to the Rav. But the way we paskin is actually based on the sugya over here. And it would have to be 1/320th of a full mikveh, which we call a brecha. So 1/320th of a full arboim saw would actually be shlosh lugin with a very simple cheshbon. Each saw has 6 kavim in it, and each kav has 4 lugin. So that means a saw is 24 lugin, which means that 40 saw times 24 equals 960 lugin. So if you got 960 lugin and you want 3 of those to be the shlosh lugin that passels, that is actually a total of the, if you divide the 3 lugin into the 960 lugin, it's 1/320th, right? So then if in the total, you would have the 960, so it's 1/320th of the regular mikveh. Okay? So therefore, if you've got enough water in there that it measures essentially, turns out to be like 2 1/40th tvachim, if you want to turn it into tvachim, which we haven't done here, which we'll do when we get to the sugya of how big the mikveh has to be. So then that would be how big the hole would have to be. And if it is, then the she'uvim make the upper mikveh useless, because it's always considered to have been shlosh lugin first. Rabbi Elazar Omer, afilu atachtona maleya mayim kasher, ve'elyona maleim she'uvim. I say, even if the mikveh on the bottom is full of kosher water, the upper one is full of mayim she'uvim, and you have shlosh lugin, and basically mayim she'uvim is going to be flowing down, it's still kosher. Because remember, what's the din of shlosh lugin? Shlosh lugin mayim she'uvim shenaflu lamikveh. Do you remember the lashon of the whole takana? So how in the world is something that's sitting in a hole and hasn't mixed, where the whole pagam is shenaflu lamikveh, over here, no matter what you do, I don't give a hang, it wasn't naflu lamikveh. And therefore, it goes against the whole gezerah. I don't know where Biosi comes off with such a thing. It cannot be that that should be the halacha, because it violates the whole way that we understand the din, which is only shlosh lugin shenaflu. Unfortunately, we do paskin like Rabbi Yossi. He sure sounds sure of himself, in this case. Okay, Rabosai, to be continued, and I hope I'll remember to be ma'ayin in the sugya to be able to answer Rav Barnea's point. Kol tov. Have a wonderful day of the Surah Tevis and Achana L'Purim.